Good morning. I'm looking at Andrew. Yes, he's got his thumb up. That's good. Just means it's recording. So for those of you listening on audio, we're good to go. I'm looking at the book of Isaiah today. I'm looking at chapter 58, verses 6 to 12. Some of you will be familiar with these verses. Isaiah 58, 6 to 12. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. It's a great chapter. It's the basis, in a sense, of what CAP does. The basis of this is looking after the poor and needy and those, in a sense, outside. It's our obligation to look after those. It talks about clothing people, feeding them. It's not really what I'm going to talk on. I have talked on this before about fasting, but I would recommend to you, if you want to look at it, Sue Moore's very kindly bought me this book again. I had it years ago and lost it. It's a book called God's Chosen Fast by a guy called Arthur Wallace, which looks at Isaiah 58. If you want to read something, I would recommend that. It's a really good book on this passage. But I've had a verse running around in my head for a number of weeks now. It's the last verse of this particular chapter. It's verse 12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I was praying a while ago and this verse came to me. And it's like one of those things you sort of think, yeah, that verse is there. Where is it? I know it's, as I say, it's in the Bible. These days we've got this great thing, it's called Google. You put the verse and it tells you where it is. I'm like, oh, well, it's in Isaiah. I wasn't sure it was there. That's where it is. The verse sort of came to me and I've been thinking about it for a number of weeks and I want to talk about it. The book of Isaiah is placed in the Old Testament. The Bible's split into two, what they call the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament runs from Genesis through to Malachi, 39 books. The New Testament runs from Matthew to Revelation, 27. Get my numbers right, that's 66, isn't it? Isaiah's in what they call the section of the prophets. People who delivered the message of God. They were the prophets, in a sense, were those who stood on behalf of God. And if you read the old authorized version, often they would come out with this statement at the start, "Thus saith the Lord." Wow, that's the thing, isn't it? To be someone who says, "This is what God's saying to you." That's what the prophet was. He's in what's called the major prophets. The prophets are split into major and minor. Major prophets, simply because of the length of the work, really. The size of the book. Isaiah's 66 chapters. So I want you all to go home and read them today. No. You probably have read them at some time or other, but he's a major prophet because of the length of his work. So you've got Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and we've got the minor prophets, Hosea through to Malachi, 12 of those. Great book on the minor prophets written by a friend of mine, Mr. Sherman. 12 Dead Men Speak is what he says. It's a great title. 12 Dead Men Speak, talks about the minor prophets. Isaiah was, all we know of him is the son of Amos, spelt with a Z, A-M-O-Z. Covers the period between 739 and 500 BC. Those of you into history, you can look this up. I'm trying to give you some background. The two major powers at that time were Assyria and Babylon. The book of Isaiah, in a sense, is set in the context that Israel had lost their way. They sort of thought, well, God's with us, we can do what we want. And all of a sudden, two other nations rose, and their sacred sites were overrun. Jerusalem was overrun and desolate. You read about it more in the book of Nehemiah, where he talks about restoring the walls. He walks around the city, says, it's a great verse in Nehemiah, said, I wept when I saw the state of the walls, I wept. He was so moved by what had happened. So they thought they were, we're invincible. Jehovah's with us, we're sorted. And God said, no, not really. You need to do stuff. It's not enough, because I'm on your side. Assyria and Babylon rose up, and they were in a mess. And Isaiah is set in that context. And in these particular verses, in a sense, he's saying to them, some of what you're doing isn't good enough. It reminds me, sort of parallel, of Jesus when he talked to the Pharisees. And he said, you know, this great language to speak to religious leaders. Whitewashed sepulchres, brood of vipers. That's what Jesus said to him. But they said, we fast twice a week. And he said, it's not enough. Fasting on its own isn't it. This is the type of fasting God's on about. So that's the context, if you like, of the book of Isaiah. Long time getting to my intro, isn't it, really? Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls. Clearly, in the context of Isaiah, it's talking about the physical walls. But actually, I want to take it a different way. When I was praying about this, it sort of came to me that this is about repairing broken walls, repairing relationships, is what I was thinking about when God was talking to me. We can repair some walls in relationships that have actually gone astray somewhere. Relationships are not easy, are they? Sometimes things don't go well, and we struggle. And I was thinking about this. It's funny, when I worked in Derby, when I lived in Nottingham, worked in Derby, a place called Alverston, in a home with people who were in recovery from substance abuse, alcohol and drug abuse, and we used to find that actually a lot of them had time on their hands. It wasn't a good thing to let them sit round the house doing nothing, so we sent them out doing stuff. Some of them were on care and repair, that was decorating and painting, but some of my guys went dry stone walling in Derbyshire, learning how to build walls. Don't know if you've been out in the country, you've seen these walls put together with different bricks. There's an art to dry stone walling. I haven't done it, but these guys used to go and do it. We send them out every day and they come back really full of life and beans because they've been out, they've been on a lovely day, been making these walls. Quite an art to repairing walls and putting them together. It's a skill. Michael was talking about his father last week. My father by trade was a bricklayer. So he knew a little bit about putting walls together and how they should be. I don't think I learnt anything from him really because I'm rubbish at that. But in dry stone walling, you need to prepare the ground. You have to lay the foundations. You have to build up layers. At the end of it, when you put your stones on the top, when you adorn it, if you like, they talk about capstones. And you do dry stone walling. So repairing walls is an art. Repairing relationships requires effort and some skill. I said to Michael, Mike said he's going to critique my preaching today, which will be great for me. But I said to him, I'm going to use a bit of a silly illustration. I'll use it in a minute. Here's some questions for you. Are you in a poor relationship with someone? Have things gone bad or sour? I guess if we're all honest, many of us have been there. I went through quite a painful divorce, and the repercussions of that are still felt within my family and certainly within my sons. That was hard. Maybe somebody has offended you in the past and you're still carrying it. You're still hurt by what they said or by what they did. Many of us have been hurt. Maybe you're the one who's hurt somebody else. Maybe somebody said something about your partner or a member of your family and you can't forgive what they said. See, our words are precious. You can't take back what you say, can you? So we've got to be careful. I'll say more about that later. I've got a great scripture that says something about that. How about friendships? Have you grown weary in always being the one who makes the running in the friendships? Have some friends, don't you think? It's hard work sometimes with them. You've got to keep going at it. And I was thinking about this, and this is my weird illustration, really. You have to forgive me. You know me a long time. You'll put up with me. I thought about a good relationship being like a comfy chair, like an armchair. Don't know if you have one. Many of us have chairs. We have a chair in our home, an armchair. Two people who use it most, my wife uses it a lot, and the other person that uses it is Dexter the dog. Whenever Sue goes up to bed, he's in the chair. You come down in the morning, he's in the chair. Often. We have a chair that we feel comfortable in and we feel relaxed in. A good relationship, you feel okay in. You want to put up that picture of the chair? Have you found it? Has it gone up? Yeah. Good relationship is like a comfy chair. It feels warm, safe, a place you can relax in. The reason I've used that, I'm going to use the letters of chair to give you five things that I think are important in restoring healthy relationships. Will you be a repairer of a broken wall? Is this something you can do to repair a relationship? Jesus said, Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Whether we like it or not, the responsibility is often on us to repair relationships. Hold on to your seats. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You might be in the right, doesn't give you the permission to back off of a relationship. You should be the one being the peacemaker. That's what our calling is, to bring peace. The Bible says something, that phrase that often you don't understand, but you get the feeling, peace that passes understanding. Good key. I'm throwing seeds out here for you. When you're making decisions, you need to feel at peace about right and good decisions. If you don't, something's wrong. Just hesitate if you don't feel at peace. We're there to bring calm, aren't we? Calm. Relationships often get het up. Whether you're right or wrong in a sense doesn't matter. We are called to be the ones looking to bring peace into any situation. After all, the one we serve was called the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, I'm quoting, I hope. We serve the Prince of Peace. If we're going to be like him, we need to bring peace. Are some of your family relationships strained? I was watching a program yesterday that this won't surprise you. Something I've recorded, Michael will understand. It was a program about Alec Ferguson. Apparently you're supposed to pronounce his name Alec, not Alex. So I'm told, the book Rachel bought me for my birthday. And he said this phrase, and I was sort of, wow, taken aback. He was trying to pursue a football career as a young man. It wasn't quite working out. His dad had said to him, I want you to have an apprenticeship. He was a toolmaker in Govan, making tools in the shipyard. And his football career wasn't working out. And he decided, well, I've had enough. I'm fed up with it. He started going out to nightclubs and doing things he shouldn't have done. And he fell out with his dad. And he said, and I sort of thought, wow, can't believe I'm hearing it. He said, we didn't speak for 2 years. My dad and I didn't speak to each other for 2 years. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's what happens sometimes. Relationships get impaired over some decision. He'd made a decision to back off from his football career and his father wasn't happy and they fell out because of it. They made up, fortunately. But imagine, 2 years they didn't speak. Well, it's in the documentary. It's still available. I think I watch it on catch up. I thought, what a thing. When I went through what was a painful divorce, married to my first wife I met at Bible college, both spiritual people, three sons, ended up falling apart, went to mediation. I used to go to work in the morning, and at dinner time I'd often go to a mediation meeting and then come back to work and not let anyone know. And I found that quite difficult. And we ended up where my eldest son, John Mark, lived with me and the other two boys lived with the mum. That was quite hard. Daniel and Matthew lived with the mum in Stoke, still there, that area. John Mark lived with me. And I went to these meetings with mediation, which were run by Relate at that time. And because I was going through difficult, I bought this book. I thought, right, this will sort me out. The Relate Guide to Better Relationships. Having read it and gone to all the meetings, it still didn't work out. Having prayed and fasted, it didn't work out. Oh, knocked the water over. That was good. Those listening by audio, I've just knocked water over. But sometimes things don't work out, and it's hard, isn't it? Relationships. You're looking to God. I've got faith in that area, and I'm saying, what's going on? Why is this happening? We need to repair broken walls where we can. So, your comfy chair. Imagine yourself sitting in it now. C. C is for communication. Okay? C is for communication. All healthy relationships need good communication. We've got loads of ways these days, haven't we can communicate. Got a list here somewhere. I've put down on my notes here, you know the old saying, it ain't what you say, it's the way you say it. Sometimes our relationships are marred by the way we've said something. We didn't mean it that way, but it's come across. And somebody's sort of taken offence. You've said what? The way we say it's important. How we communicate. And this is, I was praying and this scripture came to me and I thought, is this a scripture? Have I made it up? Do you ever get those things where you think, you get a phrase and think, and I thought, I'm sure this is a scripture, but it sounds real hard. Listen to this. This is a fascinating scripture. Proverbs 25:15. When one is slow to anger, a ruler may be won over. A gentle tongue will break a bone. Wow. There's a verse for you. I was going to say, do you want to be bone breakers? But I better not. A gentle tongue will achieve stuff. Calm. The way you say it, the way you present it. Perhaps what you have said was right, but the way you said it was wrong. These days, we have so many forms of communication. Zoom. I was in a Zoom meeting last week with one of the leaders of Assemblies of God. WhatsApp. Some of us are still communicating. We as a church leadership set up WhatsApp groups. Communicate that way. When my middle son first went to Spain, I think back in the day, and my other son went to Australia, we're communicating them by Skype. That was, I think, before the sort of WhatsApp and whatever. You're laughing, you must have used it. Skype, email. Get email, those of you at work, Sue, get about 8 million emails a day she gets. Messenger, Facebook, voicemail. I don't even think I've still worked my greeting out on my phone up from a voicemail. Hello, this is Jed's phone. Please leave a message. I'll phone you back as quick as I can. Letter. Some of you have run out of the habit of letter writing, haven't you? Loads of ways to communicate. I got an email. I started a job at Thomas More invigilating exams, which I'm still doing. I'll be on next week. I got this email originally about my dates, and then it said on some of them, standby. And it said on the bottom, if you are on standby, please don't come to the school. We will ring you to let you know. And I'm thinking, so sat at home. I can't go in. Total miscommunication. What she meant was those areas that say standby, that's what I'm referring to, not the whole of it. Miscommunication in an email. It's easy to do, isn't it? You read something and you pick up on something and think, did you notice on that list I gave you something was missing? What was missing? Face to face. Face to face. Better way, sometimes it takes guts to sort relationships out if you're at an impasse with someone, to go to them face to face, say, Mark, I'm really sorry, can we sort it out? Some of us want the easy way, don't we? Let's send an email, I'll text him, it'll be all right. But you can misread community. In fact, you can't get any body language through electronic stuff, can you? Because often our body language betrays us. We might say something, but our body's saying something different. Communication's important. In fact, the Bible says if you've got a problem with someone, you go to them. That's how it should be resolved. You go to them personally, face to face. Communication, can I encourage you? If you haven't spoken to someone for a while and you realize there's a problem, speak to them. Face to face is better, but on the phone if you can. Okay, back to your comfy chair. C, H is for honesty or openness. I put down on my notes here. Some relationships get into trouble because one person takes on an identity or persona of somebody they're not. And what happens then is the person reads into it totally different messages. Are you brave enough to be yourself in a relationship? Thinking, if I do that or say that, people will get put off. It leads to complications, not really knowing the person. One of the biggest hits of recent years, movies, was called The Greatest Showman. And one of the standout songs was called This Is Me. Are you in a relationship where you're hiding behind an identity because you're frightened of upsetting someone? Or you're taking on a role that you think is how it should be? You need to be yourself. Warts and all. Funny when we're singing that song, that I always think that. When we sing, Your grace, amazing. God knows all my faults and yet he still loves me. Wow. A bit like my wife, really. Don't know how she puts up with me. She says she's got grace. But we need to be ourselves, don't we? Are you honest enough to be yourself? Honesty in terms of our past. Sometimes we need to confess some of the stuff we're not so happy with. Because if it comes out elsewhere, it's going to hurt us. Our past. I'm not particularly pleased about some of the things in my past, but I'm honest about it. It's important to be honest. I was young and foolish, now I'm old and foolish, but I did some things I wish I hadn't have done. And I'd do it differently now. But we need to be honest about it. Our present, I remember when I was working on the missions course, we used to have a lot of different nationalities. Lady from Peru, guy from Malaysia, a couple of people from it, all over the place. And one of them said, you British people are really funny, aren't you? I said, how do you mean? He said, well, when you say, how are you? You all say, I'm great. Well, often you're not. Spot on. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm dying inside, but I'm not going to tell you. How honest are you? I know when we went through the difficulty of losing Devon, it was quite hard when people said, how are you doing? It's quite hard to know how to answer. If I answered with expletives, it probably wouldn't go down well. But sometimes you just felt like, I don't even want to be here. Never mind asking how I am. But we need to be honest about who, so people get a real gauge of who we are. Our future, our dreams and desires, how honest are you about where you want to be and where you want to go? In a relationship, it's important we're supporting each other in those dreams and desires. Do you feel supported? Do you feel, I don't say that, it'll cause a problem? I promised my friend Michael I'd mention this. As Paul Simon reminds us in one of his songs, just give me some tenderness beneath your honesty. It's important. Important not just to be blunt, but to be tender in it. Back to our chair. Communication, honesty. A is for affirmation. It's a word perhaps you're not familiar with. I was part of an Anglican community for 3 years when I was doing my degree in Nottingham, part of St. John's College, allied to Nottingham University. It's when I first really came across this. The Anglicans are good at what is called affirmation, affirming, saying to someone, I'm with you, go for it. It's one of the things I often say to Ray on a Sunday, tell him I love him to bits, tell him he's got a gift, he's anointed to lead worship, because he is. I'm affirming his gift, I'm affirming, I believe in him. It's important to affirm one another. In a relationship, we need to be saying to people, I'm with you, go for it. Maybe Sue would say, I've got your back. Isn't it great to have friends you can rely on? Something goes wrong, you know, I can pick the phone up, they'll be there. What a thing to have somebody who's you can rely on. A is for affirmation. To be positive and supportive. We seem to be very good at negative comments, not so good at positive comments. We can tell you what you've done wrong, but can you tell me what I've done right? When was the last time you said to somebody, that was great today, you did, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that really blessed me, what you said. I try to, I'm not always good at it, but I try to, if people share, particularly in spiritual things, I try and speak to them after the meeting to tell them how great it was that they released their gift and God was using them. Don't always manage it, but I try to. It's important to affirm people, to be positive with them. Now, when somebody comes to you with an idea and says, well, your friend, I'm thinking of doing this, oh, that'll never work. That's great encouragement, isn't it? Oh, thanks for that. Cheers. I can't see you doing that. You've got no skills in that area, have you? That's real positive stuff, isn't it? That'll build people up, won't it? No. Standing with someone. I'm here if you need me. Might be they're going through a difficulty, you're saying, I can't really understand what you're going through, but I'm here. If you want to talk, I'm here. If you want to go out and have a coffee, I'm here. I love the book of Job. I've said it to you before. It's just baffling. People give bad press to Job's comforters, but the guy sat with him 7 days before they spoke. Wow. They identified with him. Just great to have people with you sometimes when you're going through difficulty. Affirmation, affirming, being positive. Are you positive with your friends? Are you positive with your partner? Here's some great verses. 1 Samuel 14, I don't know if I've got this down. One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. His father was Saul. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. Imagine signing them names, Wendy. That would be good, wouldn't it? On each side of the path that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozaz and the other Senna. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash, the other to the south towards Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men, the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. This is his armor bearer. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. When was the last time you said to one of your friends or your partner, I'm with you, heart and soul? Whatever you want to do, I'm with you. I'm the guy. I'll support you. I'll rally to the cause. I'll make sure everything moves towards fulfilling what you want to do. What a thing to know somebody's with you and will support you. Affirmation. Back into our chair. Communication. Honesty. Affirmation. Intimacy. I is for intimacy. Here's the Oxford English Dictionary definition. The inmost thoughts or feelings proceeding from, concerning, or affecting one's inmost self. Closely personal. It's not just about sex, intimacy. It's about more than that. We need to be intimate with God to know him, to hear his voice, don't we? We need to be close. Personal. Have you shared intimate secrets with someone? You know those things, don't you, where you share with someone and say, it's just between you and I. And you come to church Sunday and everyone knows. When I was going through divorce, I started a new job. It's not a great thing to do, but it just so that's how it happened. And one of the guys, I didn't have a car at the time, I think Janet had run off with the car. Or she'd taken the car. Be more positive. this guy came to my house to pick me up for work, and it was a mess. I was all over the place in my head and pans here and whatever, washing up in the sink. The guy gave me a lift to work, and I think I'd only been there about a week. And the next thing somebody said to me when I was at the photocopier or something, "Oh, I believe you're going through divorce at the moment." I was mortified that the guy had actually said something about my home situation that I thought was between me and him. I was really quite taken aback by it, because I was embarrassed about what was happening, and I didn't want anyone to know. And this guy had let slip one of my secrets. Are you intimate with someone where you can keep a secret and people can trust you? It's important. Where's she gone? Sue and Andy have become grandparents now. Whey! But a couple of years back, their son Jonathan came and spent some time with me. He wanted to share some personal, intimate things. And he said, "This is not going to get back to my dad, is it? I don't think Andy knows to this day what Jonathan talked to me about." Because I felt it was a personal conversation. I said to Jonathan, "I will maintain your trust unless there's anything I have to say goes outside this, but I won't share this with anyone." We need to be close with people we can share secrets with that actually will support us. Those of you who have been hurt in an intimate relationship, you've got to believe someone good is out there, and you must learn to risk loving again. It's hard when you've been hurt to actually set the step to get out there. Some of us close in and won't go out. We won't see people. Maybe you've been hurt in a friendship and you decided you're not going to go down that route again. You're not going to have many friends because you're panicking about what happened last time. Don't judge everyone by somebody else. I'm not that person. It's easy, isn't it, to be tarred with that brush. Closeness develops a special bond. Are you intimate with God? Are you close enough where he speaks to you on a personal basis? How much time have you spent? Intimacy demands time. See, to get to know somebody takes time, doesn't it? To know what they like. To know what they're into. I know if I go shopping with my wife, I know what she likes, I know what sort of shops she likes to go in. I might disappear for half an hour when she's looking at candles or wool. I thought black sheep was a beer. She tells me it's where you get wool from. It is a beer, it's in Otley, but never mind. Do you know? Are you intimate to know what? Close enough to know what somebody's interests are. Back to our chair. Are we okay with this? Still awake? That's good. R is for repair. You will be called restorer or repairer of broken walls. There are some relationships some of us are in need repairing. You need to look to fix it. Some things in our past have caused brokenness and difficulty in our present. It's time to seek repair for what we can do. Some of our past still causes us difficulty. Those of you in recovery will be well aware of this if you got to this stage. Steps 8 and 9, it says, make a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. When you look through the telescope of your life and your past and you think, that wasn't very nice what I said to him, or that wasn't very nice what I did to her, what have you done about it? Have you made any amends, or just said, tough, that's life? Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. One thing to say, yeah, I want to do it. It's another thing to do something about it. Got to do something about it. Got to repair the wall, that relationship that's damaged. I've had some up and down times with my middle son, Daniel. He's lived in Spain. He's lived in Barcelona, Madrid. He's now currently in Malaga. Valencia has lived in as well. And I've flown over twice because we had some issues that needed sorting. He wasn't particularly pleased with me. I flew to Barcelona, I flew to Valencia to spend some time with him. It's important to make that effort and say, I'm going to put down whatever's going on. I've got to go and sort this out. Is that something you need to do? Do you need to make a visit to somebody? Do you need to make a phone call? Whatever it is you need to do, maybe you need to buy a bunch of flowers and go and apologize. I don't know. God knows, and you know. A while ago, my adorable dog, Dexter, chewed the strap off my off my watch. And I took it to the man at Timpson's to see if he could repair it near Sainsbury's. You know why? He had a particular skill in that type of repair. We all need different skills in terms of repairing relationships. Some of us need communication skills. Some of us need generosity skills and get our wallet out and spend some money. Dad, can you help me? I need X amount. Oh, no. Can't do that. £50. Oof. God needs to touch some of that. If God can get your heart, he can get your wallet or your purse. Isn't difficult. You need a particular set of skills. What do you need to do? Maybe you need to be patient. Maybe you're too quick to run in and jump to conclusions. He had a particular set of skills. I've often repaired computers or damaged hard drives. That's one of the things I could do. Can't do much, but I can do that. I can build computers from scratch. I've often been around repairing them. It's a particular set of skills. What sort of skills do you need in order to repair relationships and repair the broken wall? What is it you need to repair? Maybe you owed someone money you've never paid back. When I was typing this up and praying, came to me. I don't know if this, well, I think it's for someone in here. Maybe that still hangs over you. You promised them, if you lend me this, I'll pay you back in, and you've never. Maybe that's something you need to address. I've got it in my notes. Skills you might need. I've just put three down. Patience, persistency. Sometimes you've got to keep going at it when it doesn't look like it's changing. Positivity, be positive. Don't be negative. Be positive in your outlook. I'm coming to a close. Is this all right? Are you going to be a repairer of broken walls? Have you got relationships that need mending? You're going to get in your comfy chair. Communication. Honesty. Affirmation. Intimacy. Repair. Are you keen to be a repairer of broken walls? That's all I've got. If you want prayer this morning, I'm happy to pray for you. If you feel you're in a relationship that needs repair and you want to do something about it, I'm happy to pray with you. If you feel you just need some wisdom on how to go about something, happy to pray with you. I'm going to finish there. If you want prayer, I suggest you come out to the front and I'll pray with you. Okay? Thank you for listening.